sanctified. And praise God, one of these days I'll be glorified. Yeah. Woo, what a day that'll be. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get started in a minute. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Well, I hope you have God's Word with you. You'll be turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find the scripture already looked up for you. It's also up here on the screen. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. That was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked, "Which do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent a message to him, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. And then the greatest question of all time, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked, and they all answered him, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to realize that all of us must answer the question that Pilate asked. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? And Father, may our answer be to accept him, to trust him, to love him, to serve him, to worship him, to honor him, to obey him, to follow him. Speak to us now, God, through your word. We'll make our petition in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we dive into the text, I want to ask a favor of all of you in the next coming weeks. In the next coming weeks, there are going to be people that will show up at church that haven't been in a long time. Some may have never been at all. Because it's Easter, people will be thinking about God. And because we're doing some special things and people are going to be invited to come. By the way, we have posters out here. Take all of them you want to and put them out. Okay? Morgan Mara sent me a text, said, "Pastor, I put it in this restaurant, this laundromat." And I sent her a thing back. I said, "Wouldn't it be great if somebody saw that, attended, and got saved, and would be in heaven forever and ever with you because you did that?" But anyhow, I want to encourage you to do the following for the next couple of weeks. Help me do this, okay? We got a brand new parking lot down here on the new side of the sanctuary that's going to be opened up in a little bit. Let me ask you to park down there and to save these spots up here for new people that ain't ever been. And then when you come in, I want to ask you to set up front so the people that ain't never been can slip in the back, okay? And then when you come in, if you'd set it the seats in the middle so that when people come in late and didn't get a parking space and they have to find a space, when they slip in, they'll have one of the seats on the end. Could we make those sacrifices for Jesus in the next couple of weeks? Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, church. I want to share with you today about Pilate and the problem of indecision. I'm reminded of a story that Ronald Reagan told when he was a child. His aunt took him to one of these fancy clothing stores, and they fitted him for a new suit. And they had a guy there who measured his feet and was going to make him, a cobbler was going to make him a brand new pair of shoes. And the cobbler asked him, he said, "Do you want a square toe or round toe?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, think about it a couple of days." A couple of days later, he saw young Ronnie Reagan, and he said, "What will it be, square toe or round toe?" He said, "I don't know what to decide." He said, "Well, your stuff will be ready in a couple of days." Well, they went down there, and his suit fit to a T. They brought out the shoes. One shoe had a square toe, and one shoe had a round toe. And the cobbler looked at him and said, "Young man, I hope you've learned a lesson from this." And President Ronald Reagan said, "I learned this lesson from that. If I don't make my own decision, somebody else will make it for me." What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Pilate had a decision to make, and he tried through indecision not to make a decision, but his indecision was his decision. Notice here, this is the most important question anybody can consider. Notice here, it's a personal question. What must I do? The question is not what your neighbor's going to do, not what your parents are going to do. It's not what anybody else is going to do, but what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Not only is it a personal question, but it's a pertinent question. That is, what you decide about who Jesus Christ is going to determine all eternity for you. Not just now, but forever and ever and ever will be decided by how you answer this question. And then thirdly, it is a pressing question. It's one you got to answer either way. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm just not going to answer." You will answer it now, or you will answer it at the judgment seat of God, but you will answer the question. And so the question is, will you accept him or reject him? Will you confess him or will you deny him? Will you crown him or will you crucify him? It's the pressing question of the day. Now notice here the voices that confronted Pilate to make a decision. Notice the voice of reason spoke to him. Verse 18. He knew very well that the Jewish authorities had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. Notice, Pilate has no doubt why Jesus is standing before him. The reason is speaking to him. The reason is going something like this. This is a good man, an innocent man, an honest man. You understand there's only three options when it comes to Jesus. C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist, who became a believer, who became a great defender of the Christian faith, said there's only three options. Jesus is a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord. Now, what did he mean? A liar, he claimed to be God, he knew he wasn't God, so he was lying. Lunatic, he claimed to be God, but he didn't know that he wasn't God, that is, he's crazy. Or number three, he claimed to be God, and he really was God. He was liar, lunatic, or Lord. Reason spoke to him that due to the miracles, due to the teachings, due to the healings, this man must be who he says he is. Reason spoke to him. Secondly, the voice of a loved one spoke to him. Verse 19, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." Excuse me. We have a man in our church when he was a young man in his 30s, had a stroke. He's in the hospital. People are coming to see him, and And as they come to see him, he's telling them about Jesus Christ. After he gets out of the hospital, one of the relatives, he's witnessing to him again, said, "Hey, you've already told me about Jesus one time. I don't want to hear it again. There are some of you right here in this room today, and your grandparents talked to you about Jesus. Your parents talked to you about Jesus. Your spouse has talked to you about Jesus. Your friend has talked to you about Jesus. And you know what? You didn't want to hear it. Pilate's wife talked to him about Jesus, but he wouldn't listen. There's a third voice that spoke to him, and that is his conscience. Spoke to him. Verse 23. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. Thank you. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." Why did Pilate take water and wash his hands? He was trying to cleanse his guilty conscience. You see, everybody has a conscience. And your conscience is this thing that God's put on the inside of you. It tells you this is right and this is wrong. His conscience was telling him, "This is wrong, Pilate. This is an innocent man." And his conscience was bothering him. So what does he do? He washes his hands. But friend, all the water in all the oceans could not wash away his guilty conscience. And so there are those in this room today, and your conscience has spoken to you about who Jesus Christ is. Chuck Colson, of Watergate fame, was saved while serving his prison sentence. Later became a great evangelist and started Prison Fellowship and has witnessed prisons all around the world. On one occasion, he went into a prison. He's greeting the prisoners, and he went to shake one of them's hand, and a guy slapped his hand, didn't want to shake his hand. Afterwards, he asked the warden, he said, "What's going on here?" And he said, "Chuck, you wouldn't believe what has happened in the last 10 years. He said, "It used to be that when young inmates came in, they would ask protection from the older inmates." He said, "Now it's the opposite. Now the older inmates are asking for protection from the younger inmates." And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "It used to be when the older inmates first came in, we would talk to them about right and wrong, and they would understand what we were saying." He said, "The young crowd that's coming in now, we talk to them about right and wrong, and they have no clue what we're talking about. That is, they have no conscience whatsoever about right and wrong." Pilate had a conscience that said, "This is wrong." And he violated his conscience anyway. Number four, the voice of Jesus Christ spoke to Pilate. Verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Are you listening? Are you on the side of truth? If you're on the side of truth, Jesus is speaking today. Now, you might say, "Now, Pastor, I don't hear Jesus speaking. I just hear you speaking." Well, folks, I just read what Jesus said. You understand, I'm just a Western Union guy. I'm just a paper boy. I'm not the one speaking it. I'm just relaying the one who actually said it. Jesus is speaking today. If you are listening to the truth, he is speaking. And so he had all of these voices confronting him. But notice here, secondly, the values that conformed, that shaped Pilate's decision. Number one, he valued public opinion. Verse 20, "But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed." Why did he do that? Mark 15:15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Do you understand what Pilate's problem was? You know what shaped his values? He was too worried about what other people thought about him. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and you're going to have an opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about today in this service. And there will be people in this room that will miss God's best. They will miss God's blessings because they're too worried about what somebody else might say about them because they have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Recently, I had a man who's gotten away from God, and he said to me, he said, "Well, Pastor, if I came to church Sunday, and I were to walk down an aisle, and I were to get right with God, what would people say?" I said, "Wrong question. Wrong question. The first question you ought to ask is what would God say?" I'll tell you what's going to happen. The angels in heaven are going to rejoice. God is going to rejoice. The saints are going to rejoice. The people right with God are going to rejoice. And the people that don't get right with God need to be at the altar. Those people you are worried about are worse off than you are. So don't even think about them. You just think about what God wants you to do. And then secondly, he valued his pride. Pride ever got you in trouble? Yeah. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Oh, listen, I'm telling you, Pilate was offended. "I'm an important government official. Don't you know I can kill you or I can set you free?" Jesus said, "You have no control over me whatsoever." But notice here his pride. He was welled up and puffed up with pride. Remind me of this woman who went to New York City for the first time, stayed at one of these fancy hotels, and she came in there with all of her luggage, and the bellhop says, "Ma'am, if you'll follow me, I'll take you to your room." Well, they go down and go into through the door. Woman looks around and said, "I'm not paying for this. I want you to know my money come too hard to pay for this. I'm not sleeping in some pull-down bed in this little bitty room. Well, this room doesn't even have a phone. It doesn't even have a television. I'm not staying in this room. You probably want me to walk all the way down the hall just to use the bathroom. I'm not staying in this room." And the bellhop says, "Ma'am, this is not your room. This is the elevator." Well, you see, she had her pride all puffed up. Like I said, in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And are you going to swallow your pride and let God bless you? Or are you going to get all bowed up and think, "Well, what's people going to think?" Number three, he valued his position. In verse 12, "From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, 'If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.'" Well, guess what? Pilate liked his good, comfortable, cushy government job. And so if I don't go along with the crowd, I might lose my position. I might lose my spot. Caesar might say, "Oh, you're siding with another guy who claims to be a king." And so what did he do? He made the wrong decision. He made the wrong decision because he thought he would lose his position. Can I tell you what happened to Pilate? After he had Jesus crucified, there was an uprising in Samaria, and he went over there and used force. Tiberius, the emperor, was mad and angry and called Pilate to Rome to answer for his actions. Before Pilate could ever get there, Tiberius died. A new emperor was on the throne when he got there. The new emperor banished him to exile on an island where Pilate committed suicide. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? He was afraid, I'm going to lose my position. I will lose my promotion. I will lose my salary. And folks, he ended up losing everything. Everything. And then number three, I want you to see the verdict that condemned Pilate. Number one, he tried to ignore Jesus. In verse 31, Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. In other words, Pilate said, "Hey, this is not my problem, it's your problem." And he just tried to ignore Jesus altogether. A lot of people have what I call the ostrich complex. And that is, they want to go bury their head in the sand and pretend if I just ignore Jesus, he will go away. Friend, he's not going away, he's coming back. And if he doesn't come back in your lifetime, you're going to meet him. You cannot ignore Jesus. Notice the next action. He tried to shift the decision to someone else. In Luke 23, on hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. You see, Herod was the king of Galilee. Jesus' ministry was mostly around the Sea of Galilee. So he thought, oh, I'll put it off on somebody else. So many times people will come and instead of dealing with Jesus themselves, they want to put it off on their spouse, put it off on their children, put it off on the preacher, put it off on somebody else. But listen, friend, sin is a personal decision that you made. And what you do with Jesus is a personal decision you must make. Nobody else can make that decision for you. They tried to shift the blame. Reminds me, this fellow went out and bought a new boomerang. You know what happened to him? He killed himself trying to throw the old one away. Well, he's trying to throw this off on somebody else. Number three, he tried to simply admire Jesus without worshiping him. In verse 14, he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence, and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he's done nothing to deserve death." Do you understand what Pilate? Here's a pagan Roman governor. He said, "I find no basis whatsoever for the charges." You see, he admired Jesus. Oh, he's a great man. He's a great example. He's a great teacher. He's a great prophet. But he wasn't going to worship him. Folks, remember, he's a liar, a lunatic, or he's the Lord. Friend, I'm telling you, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of glory, and he deserves our worship. But Pilate only wanted to admire him and not worship him. You understand the foolishness of our society today? They say, oh, Jesus was a great example. Jesus was a great teacher. But they don't believe he was God. Listen, you can't be a great teacher if your central message is, I'm the Son of God. And you're not the Son of God. You're a lunatic or a liar. You're not a great teacher. You're not a great example. But a lot of people want to admire Jesus from a distance, but not worship him. And then number four, he tried to remain neutral. Verse 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your responsibility." You see, Pilate wanted to say, "I'm not for him, I'm not against him." But Jesus had already said, "He that does not gather, scatters. He that is not for me is against me." But he wanted to remain neutral. I want to ask you a question. about history. When did World War II start? Some people would tell you it started in 1937 when Japan invaded China. Others would say, no, World War II didn't start until 1939 when Germany invaded Poland. But whether it was 37 or 39, you understand the United States did not get into World War II until the end of 1941, December the 7th, as a matter of fact. Well, we declared war on Japan December the 8th. What happened on December the 7th? The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Do you understand for the first 3 to 5 years, America was not involved in World War II? It's going on in the Pacific. It's going on in Asia. It's going on in Europe. But people in America are eating ice cream and going to the drive-in. We're not going to be involved. We're going to stay neutral. But guess what? America couldn't stay neutral. The enemy attacked. You cannot stay neutral with Jesus. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You can't straddle the fence. There's not an in-between position. So what's the final verdict? What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Well, let me just give you five people who replied. I ran out of space. You have the scripture reference. I didn't have room on your outline to put it. But number one, the verdict of John the Baptist. Who did John the Baptist say Jesus was? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How about the verdict of doubting Thomas? Remember, he said, I will not believe unless I touch the wounds in his hands. He fell down at the feet of Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. Doubting Thomas. Well, how about Judas, the one who betrayed him? He brought back the 30 pieces of silver, threw it into the temple, and he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. How about the verdict of the centurion? The man who nailed Jesus to the cross. He knelt there at the cross and he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? What will you do with Jesus? Will you confess Him or deny Him? Will you accept Him or will you reject Him? Will you crown Him or will you crucify Him? What will you do with Jesus? And then I want you to see the supreme witness. Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. So God the Father, the Creator of all the universe, said, this is my Son, I am well pleased. Listen to Jesus. And you might be saying, now, Pastor, all that stuff happened 2,000 years ago. That doesn't have anything to do with us today. Well, let me just give you a couple of witnesses from today. Let me tell you about a guy named Mark. In the 1980s, Mark had a $300 a day drug habit and had become a dope dealer to support his habit. He met Jesus Christ. Jesus saved him. Took away the desire for drugs. He never went through DTs. He never went through a treatment program. I mean, God just miraculously took all of that away from him. And then God called him to ministry. He became a missionary to Thailand and to Quebec. All of this happened in my lifetime. Let me tell you about the fellow that's over here playing the drums today. Trey, he's sitting right back there. As a teenager, he's running up and down a basketball court. He falls over and collapses. He can't even walk. They take him to Levine's Children. They take him to Duke. They can't find out what's wrong with him. For 9 months, Trey Newton couldn't walk. But you want me to tell you what? They didn't even know the cause, let alone the cure, but God did, and God touched him, and he walked down this aisle, and he's serving God today. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord of glory. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings. What will you do with Jesus? Accept Him. Trust Him, love Him, serve Him, worship Him, obey Him, follow Him if He is who He says He is. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who would get up out of their seat, walk down to this altar, take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I want to trust Jesus to wash away my sin and adopt me into His family. I'm wondering who's here today and you've done that, but you've not made it public. And you'd step out today and publicly say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized and be a part of the fellowship of God. I'm wondering who's here today and you're a Christian. And you say, you know what, there was a time I was following God. But I have grown cold, I have backslid, I've got away from God. And I want to come today because I believe Jesus is the Lord of glory. And I want to honor Him and serve Him and worship Him and love Him. And you'd come today and rededicate your life. Wondering who's here today. God's been working and moving in your life and God's telling you, hey, join hands with these people here. Serve me in this place. And you'll step out and come join hands with us today. What is it that God would have you to do? What will be your decision? Will you be influenced by what you think other people are going to say? Or are you going to be influenced by what Jesus has to say? Heavenly Father, as we have a time of decision and commitment making, may we not follow the example of Pilate, but instead, may we humble ourselves and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lead us now, God, to dedicate ourselves to worship, serve, honor, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll make our prayer in His name. Amen.